that really just ought to cause us to stop and think a little bit. The reason it should cause us to stop and think a little bit, because this is somebody who gets special mention in the Bible. When God goes out of his way to call somebody by name, how many of you think that maybe he's important? And the people that we think are important are not usually the people that God thinks are important. I think that there are a lot of people who have had headlines and headlines and headlines that when they get to heaven are going to be a footnote. I think there are a lot of people who have in life been a footnote, then when we get to heaven you're going to find out there were headlines. Amen? So here, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, it says, "Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Acacia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry." They have addicted themselves to the ministry. "That you submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I'm glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunus, and Acacius, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men." As we're looking at this particular passage, the household of Stephanas and Fortunus and Acacius, they all joined together to bring an offering to the missionary. To bring an offering. That was what their job was. They were simply the messengers, except that the household of Stephanas had a reputation, and the household of Stephanas, it says, had addicted themselves to ministry. Everybody say, give, give, give. See, how do you become addicted to something? Mary, if you're going to be addicted to something bad, what do? You do it over and over and over and over, right? And so if you're going to be addicted to something good, what are you going to have to do? Same thing. You're going to have to do it over and over and over and over and over. How many of you know you can be addicted to church? Amen? And that can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. How many of you know that being addicted to ministry is always a good thing? Because when you're addicted to ministry, you're just giving of yourself. You're giving of your life to others. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. When we come together for the offering, sometimes we forget that that's what this is all about. It's not about money. It's about our lives. We convert our lives into money every day, and we use it as an exchange for the things that we desire to have in our lives. Well, I don't know about you, but the thing that I want most in life is to have people. Especially if I can make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they're going to make heaven. I don't want to leave anybody behind. I want to make sure that I give them every chance to make heaven. I was talking to somebody, and we were talking about somebody that is very obnoxious. Anybody know anybody like that? No names. And, you know, sometimes you look at some of those people and you really think, I'm not sure I want them in heaven. Amen? Come on, be honest. How about the person that never stops talking? Will annoy you to no end. It doesn't matter if they have anything to say or not. They just never stop talking. Can you imagine spending eternity with them? Again, a name springs to mind, right? Talking about your life, are we, Jim? Oh, you? You never stop talking? Oh, okay. But in our giving, we are going to allow ourselves the honor of being addicted to sowing into the lives of others. As we come together today to receive the offering, I want you to see your gift that way. See this as your opportunity to step one step closer to being fully addicted, just overwhelmed by the need to give. Because the more you do it, the better it gets. the better it gets, the more you do it. Until you just can't imagine not doing it. Amen? Take your gift and put it in your hand. Can I have some ushers, please? With your gift in your hand, I want you to lift it up before God. The Bible says in the Old Testament, they came in and they lifted it up over their head and they waved it. Doesn't that look silly? Can you imagine you got your lamb, and you got that lamb, well, you grab him by the ear, by the tail, by the leg, grab the whole thing and just hold it up there? I'm trying to imagine what that might look like. You got your dove by the feet, your bag of grain. Hey, we're going to celebrate, right? So take your gift and just hold it up before the Lord and say this together with me. Father God, this gift is my life sown into your kingdom. I give it with love. I give it freely. I give it to you. Use it for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, on your behalf, we receive this offering. We ask that it would be a sweet savor before you. We lift it up to you and ask you to use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Been talking about healing for several weeks. This will be my last, as far as I know, my last time teaching on healing. Bob will be here next week, and we'll have a healing service. If you know anybody who's sick, I don't care if they've got a hangnail or if they've got stage 4 cancer, bring them. Let them come and experience the power of God. Let them see what God will do if we will just dare to believe. Amen? This week, I had the honor of talking to Jerry W. Rogers. Jerry, on the 10th, went in for surgery. They installed a shunt to drain fluid from his brain. Said that whatever the normal process is, it wasn't working. So they put in a secondary drain. And Judy said that because she's his personal caregiver, that they left it up to her as to whether or not he had to go to rehab or whether he could come home. She said the first day after surgery, she was sure he was going to spend a month in rehab because he just wasn't doing well at all. And then the next day, he was so much better. And the day after that, he was better yet. And it came time to make the decision, and they decided there wasn't any question. They were sending him home. And so I got a chance to talk to him and Judy both, and he's doing fantastic. And God is blessing, and we're expecting even better things than they are expecting. Amen? God is a God of healing, and we just expect miraculous things. And then I talked to Tim Helms this week. I don't know how many of you know, but Pastor Tim got an infection here a while back, a lung infection. That lung infection actually then attacked his heart. He had to have emergency surgery, and they replaced the valves in his heart. And I mean, it was really serious. And so when that all happened, we happened to be at the Armada Landmark Conference, and the whole conference prayed for him, and we got to get daily reports from his daughter. So I haven't heard anything now for a little bit, so I got a hold of him, and I said, "Hey, what's the deal, man? Are you alive?" And he said, "Oh, yes. God is a healing God." Amen. So he said that everything with the surgery had gone really well. He's home. He's doing well. He's in recovery and getting better every day. They're a little concerned about a secondary infection, and we're just agreeing together that infection has got to die in Jesus' name. We're going to see complete healing and restoration. As we talked about last week, we will speak over him, restore in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I want to remind you that all of our audio is now finally online. You can go online to the church's webpage, christvictorychurch.com. There's an audio link that's on that webpage, and we have lots of good resources that are there. You can download them. You can listen to them online. You can do whatever you like. The whole series on divorce and remarriage is on there. Each week we're able to upload some more things. We've got some really good information that's on there from other speakers who have been here to visit, some who have never been here to visit. Post sermons from Pastor Daryl Huffman, who is the head of Victory Ministries International. Pastor Daryl is a Rhema regional director, just like Pastor Sam is. He's down in Huntington, West Virginia. Fantastic man of God, has been speaking into our lives for, 20 years, huh? And just a word of encouragement every time he speaks. And so some of his things are on there. I got permission from him. You'll find things on there from our pastors in New York. So, they're not part of Christ Victory Church. They are, because they're part of our DNA. And so when we get good things from them, we want to share it. We don't want to keep it to ourselves. So I encourage you, go online, pull it up, listen to it, and just enjoy every minute of it. Grow, 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 grow. Amen? So are you blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Somebody asked me why we should be excited about Bob Dunphy coming, and I thought maybe you don't all know all the story behind Bob's life. Bob is a great man of God. I mean, just there's no other way to say it. He's a great man of God. And I've teased him. I said, you know, he's kind of a mediocre preacher. But boy, when the anointing hits, nobody cares. And he knows how to flow in the anointing. Sometimes you hear him, he'll be kind of slow getting started. And I know what's going on. He's hooking up. And that generator's cranking. And he's getting his connections straight. And he's trying to figure out the direction God's going. But boy, once he's hooked up, you just want to be there. And good things do go on. There's been all kinds of miracles that have gone on in Bob's ministry. He's had 4 different people raised from the dead in his ministry. Amen? That's the kind of people I want to hang out with. I mean, we're talking about raising the dead, literally. raising the dead. Hallelujah. Babies, adults, I mean, just God is so good. And we're looking forward to having him come and minister. But the reason I've been teaching on healing and spending time in prayer, I know faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by. So in the weeks leading up to this, I've been preaching on healing because when he gets here, I want you ready to hook up to him. Amen? And we're just going to hook up and run. From the time that the service starts, I'm going to expect things to happen. Because God wants to heal. So as we do the healing service, we're going to expect those kind of things. I wouldn't be surprised to see things happen that just blow your mind. Amen? Lindsay was talking about the first time that Bob was here. She'd been having awful times with her neck and back, and Bob laid hands on her and prayed for her, and she's healed. She's off running through the jungles, healed. And sharing that testimony. God is a good God. And that testimony, sharing that testimony, encouraging people about the fact that our God is a healer, has allowed her to lay hands on the sick there in Ecuador and see miraculous healing at her hands. This stuff is worth picking up on so that we can carry it on and pass it on to the next generation. Amen? Today as we look at the topic of healing again, how many of you here have ever been prayed for and wondered, why is it taking so long? Anybody here, I mean, you've been prayed for and it didn't happen just right away. Okay. There's always a reason. Amen? We're going to look at the Word this morning. We want to know what the Word says. And when we look at what the Word says, we're looking at what the Word says because if we are doers of the Word, we can be sure God will keep His promises. Almost all of the promises we find in the Word of God have two parts. It's kind of an if-then statement. If you do this, God will do this. Deuteronomy chapter 28. How many of you want to walk in the blessings of Deuteronomy chapter 28? The simple expression is, you'll be blessed everywhere, all the time, with everything. Well, that's the synopsis. If, everybody say if. If you hearken to, that is, you listen with the intent of following through on the voice of the Lord your God. We only can claim the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 if we're willing to listen to God and then do what he says to do. So poke the person next to you and say, be obedient. The other side of that is, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 15 on, it gets real ugly. And that's for the people who don't listen to God and don't do what he says. I'm not going to be that person. Amen? How many of you join me and say, I'm not going to be that person?
I'm not
going to
be that person.
Amen. So, they said that Satan's name is Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. I'm willing to pay for anybody that kills flies. I hate those things. Had one try to fly up my nose during praise and worship. That didn't work. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. It really will distract you, just so you know. I said, man, he really got the Holy Ghost. No, he got a fly up his nose. So he's going to go home and say, Mom, Granddad is nuts. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9 says, he who is slothful in his work is the brother to him who is a great destroyer. The Septuagint, now, how many of you know that when we talk about the inspiration of the Word, that there are different opinions about how the Word was inspired? 2 Timothy tells us that every word was given by the inspiration of God. And literally in the Greek it says that it is God-breathed. The Hebrew interpretation of that is a little more intense than just, well, God said. Literally, the Jews believe that God dictated the Old Testament letter by letter. Letter by letter. That's critical because that means God was very intentional about every word that he used, not only every word, but every letter and the way that it was used. That's important because that means that we can look at the Word of God and take it for what it says. 3 o'clock this morning, I was actually doing a study on that very thing, that the integrity of the Word. We need to be people who are committed to the belief that God said what he meant and meant what he said. Amen? That puts me at odds with people sometimes. As a matter of fact, I got fired at Mount Union for taking the Word of God too literally. They said, you know, the Word of God is a nice collection of stories. They're great moral examples. But the Word of God is not the inspired Word of God. And I said, I beg to differ. I believe that when God said, in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth, he meant, in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. Amen? That when God said, except a man be born again, he meant, except a man be born again. Amen? So when we read the Word, it's important for us to understand what went into it. So if God breathed this all, then there ought to be some proof that God was in it. Well, we have Alexander the Great came in and he swept through and he built the Greek Empire. And in doing that, he decided that anything that was in writing needed to be in Greek. And so he commissioned that the Bible, the Old Testament, would be translated into Greek, the translation we call the Septuagint. Septuagint really doesn't mean anything more than the 70. And what he said was, we're going to take 70 scholars and we're going to have them translate it, each one individually. They're not going to collaborate on it. They're individually translate. We'll bring it together and we'll put together a translation then in Greek that will be accurate. What he didn't realize is that when God gets into something, he does it different than we do. 70 men translated the Old Testament, and there is not one word of difference between them.
Amen.
That's inspired. That's what inspired is all about. When we talk about trusting what the Word says, that's why we can trust what the Word says. Down through the ages, it's been passed down. Has it been passed down accurately, or has the filter of man ruined it? Well, if God could do that with the 70, don't you think he's capable of making sure that we get what he intended?
Amen?
Amen? Everybody poke the person next to you and say, we can trust the Word. The Septuagint translates this a little differently. It says, he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is the brother to him who commits suicide. He who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is the brother to him who commits suicide. When you get into the literal translation, it's even more pointed. It says, the one who quits in his pursuit, being disheartened by adversity, failing to realize what he is working for, is the covenant partner with the Lord of destruction, being in full agreement with him. Or maybe I think it's a good idea to stand for healing. No matter how it looks, no matter what the doctor's report, when one quits in his pursuit, disheartened by adversity, get a bad report, the pain just won't go away, whatever the case might be, I don't care what the adversity is, we have a choice to make every time. Anytime I'm preaching on healing, one of the things I've noticed, and it's not unique to me, I've talked to friends who do healing series, and they said, regardless of when you teach on healing, the time you begin to teach on healing, you can be sure you're going to come under attack. Laying hands on the sick overseas, be sure. Something's coming. Because one of the things that the devil's going to do is make sure you believe what you're preaching. He's going to stick it to you every chance he gets. But that's just the way he is. John 10:10, you know what it says, right? The thief, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, but I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. Which one do you want? Amen. I want life with abundance. I want so much life that I can't contain it all. I want it to ooze every time I move. You ever have those shoes that are so wet that when you move, the water just squeezes out of them? Oh, man. I just want that kind of life in me that literally everywhere I go, I leave a little trail of life behind. Everything I touch gets a little life on it. Amen? God wants us to be those people. But it says that if we are slothful, if we do not diligently pursue, if we don't do what is in our hands to do to bring healing, we're partners with the destroyer. I'm not going to be a partner with the destroyer. Well, you know, faith says we don't talk about the problem. No, that's not what faith says. Faith says what God says. Amen? How many of you know that if you have a headache, there is no law against saying, I have a headache, but thank God he's my healer. Amen? There's a big difference between saying, oh, my aching head, and stopping and saying, thank God, God is the healer of my pains. Jesus bore them all. I don't have to take them. And this headache has got to go in Jesus' name. Amen? He who does not use his endeavors, everybody look at the person next to you and say, works, to heal himself, is the brother to him who commits suicide. Sometimes when we talk about works, right away the people in church get their backs up. Oh, we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. And the word saved is healed, so it still applies. Okay? And it's true, we are. Grace is the thing that brings us what we need to be all that God called us to be. But there also is a part that we have to play. How many of you know that if you walk around eating Twinkies and drinking Pepsi, you're not going to be healthy? Now, I don't mean once in a while. I mean you make it regular, you know, three times a day. You get up and get your Pepsi out. Have a Twinkie with your Pepsi in the morning. You get to lunchtime, and no matter what else you eat, you finish it off with a Twinkie and a Pepsi. And then you go supper time. And you'll eat whatever's put on the table, but you're going to finish it off with a Twinkie and a Pepsi. And then just to make sure that you have a good night's sleep, you're going to have a Twinkie and a Pepsi. Now, you're laughing, but there are people who actually live this way. And it may not be a Twinkie and a Pepsi, it may be something else. But the fact of the matter is, you have a responsibility for the stewardship of your body. And when sickness and disease come against you, and you find out that there's something you need to change, then you need to change. That's your endeavor. That's your work. If let me tell you something. If you don't do anything but sit around, and I'm saying this speaking as one who has a desk job, you'll get fat. And soft. Hey, watch it. It always makes me nervous when they sit on the front and laugh at you. So it may be that you have to find a way to put your hand to work so that the sedentary lifestyle that you're forced into by your job doesn't destroy you. You need to get up and do something. Amen? I've got a friend that he brings his bicycle to the church where he pastors, and at lunchtime he goes out and he rides around the parking lot for half an hour. Good for him. I've got another friend that he walks around his building inside. And I said, it's mall walking only at the church. I've always had problems with those kind of things. If I'm getting on a bicycle, I want to be going somewhere. If I'm lifting weights, I want it to be because I'm doing something. So I have a problem with those, so I'll find something else to do. But I'm going to be doing something. I'm not going to be just sitting around waiting to find out when the heart attack comes. Amen? Now, it may mean that you need to change your diet. It may need that there's something that you need to take as a supplement. All of that is okay. Amen? But the question then becomes, what are you trusting? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can go out and you can exercise with the best of them. I mean, you can join Arnold Schwarzenegger, Lou Ferrigno, these guys. I mean, you can exercise the way that they do. you can go out there and, I mean, coach will put you through the paces. You need a personal trainer? Just call him. He'll straighten you up. And die of a heart attack. Anybody know who Jim Fix was? Jim Fix had heart trouble. And so as a result, he became a runner. And he ran and he ran and he ran. You know what he died of? Heart trouble. Because just exercise doesn't fix the problem. We need to understand that we've got to get the heart of God to know what his healing power is going to do for us. And then we've got to obey. It's three simple little steps to everything that we talk about when it comes to the word. Listen, pay attention, act on what you hear. Okay, say it with me. Listen, pay attention, act on what you hear. Anybody can listen. Anybody can get the details. It takes commitment to follow through. Amen? You're a runner, right? Just a little bit. Yeah. And there's a way to make sure that you get to the end of the race. Right? You don't just go out and run all out. What do? You pace yourself. And you set a pace that'll win. Paced yourself too much. See? See what happens when you laugh at me? They tell on you. You pace yourself because when you get to the end, you want something to kick in. You want to be able to have a little left over. You don't want to wear yourself out in the beginning. When I was running, I was a miler. That first quarter mile, man, I would give it my all. Second quarter, I would die. Third quarter, I'd get a little bit back. And by the fourth quarter, I was dying again because I didn't pace myself. And if you don't pace yourself, then when you get to the end, you're no good. You know, there's nothing to take pride in when you place third out of three. But the things that we do because we are getting direction from God. We are acting in a way that causes God to be glorified. Amen? And if we will do what God wants us to do, then we'll see that we have what it takes to get to the end. Sometimes it's diet and exercise. Sometimes it's vitamins. Sometimes it's some other type of change to our lifestyle. But the fact of the matter is there's something for us to do. But in the end, it still comes back to, are you relying on that thing or are you trusting God? How many of you know that you can take medicine for years and be no better? Amen? I have the same feeling about doctors that I do about mechanics. It is not in their best interest to fix the problem. Right? I mean, if your mechanic really did have your best interest in mind, then he would make sure that he didn't see you very much. Right? Because he would proactively look for things that it would take to make sure that your car stayed running. Make sure this stayed running well. He'd be calling you saying, hey, it's time for an oil change. Why aren't you in here? Right? Your doctor, if he's in it for himself, is looking to make money. How many of you have noticed that the better your insurance, the better your care, they say? You know, somebody goes into the hospital and they've got the top of the line insurance policy. And they stay for days and days and days. Somebody comes in and they've got a minimum policy. They're in and out in no time because they have no one to bill. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said they got on insurance. They're working for the city now and they got on the city's insurance policy and they said, man, I didn't know how sick I was. I went to the doctor and he's doing this and this and this and all these tests. And I said, because he can bill them. Huh? He can bill them. You didn't necessarily need all those tests, but he can bill them, so you're getting them. And you may be finding out later on that he billed for ones that you never even got. Because they do that too. It's up to us to know where our faith is. Faith can only be in God if it's going to work. Amen? Poke the person next to you, tell them, you need to trust God. Part of what we're doing is coming together with God in prayer. Amen? Now, prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. Prayer is us coming in and having a conversation with God, not just coming in and saying, here's my wish list, then I'll see you later. Amen? Ouch. Oh me. Which one's yours? We want to come in and we want to get into the presence of God. We want to put our ear to his heart and we want to hear what he has to say. Because when we hear what he has to say, that's going to change our lives. Amen? And God will give us clear direction. If there's something that needs to change, God is going to tell us. How many of you here have ever worried about anything? Be honest. Come on. Stick it right on up there. I mean, how many of you know that the Bible says be anxious for nothing? How many of you know that that makes you a sinner? Amen? And there's only one recourse for sin. Repent. Now, repent doesn't mean, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. No, repent means change and go the other way. So if you used to worry about it, you don't worry about it anymore. If you used to be beat up by it, you don't let it beat you up anymore. Amen? If you was a fretter, then you fret not. Well, how do you do that? Well, there's only one way to do that. Faith comes by and hearing by. And if you're going to get what you need to keep from fretting about it, keep from worrying about it, you've got to be someone who gets into the Word and gets into the Word in the presence of God. It's not just enough to study the Word. You've got to get into the presence of God so that it becomes reality to you. How many of you know who Jack Van Impe is? I love Jack Van Impe. I mean, he's got an incredible knowledge of the Word. But I heard him say something here a few years back that just blew me away. He said, I've known the Bible almost all of my life, and I can quote you chapter and verse for just about any topic. He said, but then one day, I got filled with the Spirit, and suddenly the Word became real to me. He knew it. Could quote it to you. But it wasn't real to him. Revelation comes in the presence of God. Revelation, it's one thing to know, I am the Lord who heals thee. I am the Lord who heals thee. I am the Lord who heals thee. And how many of you know that we are not chanters? We're not into transcendental meditation. We don't need a mantra. We need a Savior. And in the finding the Savior, he will give us things to say. And we will say them not because we have a chant that will drive off evil spirits, but because we have a power living in us, the Holy Ghost, who drives off evil spirits. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, then you need to make sure that your heart is full of the right stuff. If you spend all your time listening to Fox News, guess what? You're going to have a lot of criticism, a lot of opinionation, but you're not going to have a whole lot of word. Amen? But if you get into the Word in the presence of God, that Word is going to come alive on the inside of you. And when it comes alive on the inside of you, it's going to blow up in there and become bigger and bigger and bigger until one day you're going to walk around going, wait a minute. I don't have to be sick. I am the healed. Thank you for that, amen. I am the healed. Not, I need to be healed. I am the healed. Say it out loud. I am the healed. I am the healed. Now, let me ask you this question. If you are, what do you have to do to get there? Are you a woman? What do you have to do to be a woman? Just be. If you are healed, just be
healed.
I don't know how. Well, then you need to hang out with the healer. Just hang out with the healer. Because you don't have to know how to be what you are. You just have to be. Well, but, you know, that pain keeps speaking to me. Yeah? So? How many of you know that in the beginning, there was this beautiful garden, and God had a plan? And then there was this fellow who came in there and said, well, God didn't really say that, did he? And he hasn't changed the way he operates? Well, you know, if you're really healed, Mary, if you're really healed, that shouldn't be bothering you. You're right. How many of you ever agree with the devil? I like to agree with him sometimes when he's right. When he says, well, you know, that really shouldn't be bothering you. You're right. That shouldn't be bothering me. Praise God. I'm glad you reminded me of that. That shouldn't be bothering me. I'm the healed. Turn the tables on him. If he's going to throw something in your face, that's because it's threatening him and his plan. And we don't want to be partnered with, covenant partnered with, married to the destroyer. So let's not agree with him when he's wrong. Let's just agree with him when he's right. Amen? And when he says, well, I thought Jesus was your healer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I'm glad you reminded me of that because I was starting to forget about it. It won't be very long before you find out that you're just like Jesus. Jesus was tempted and tempted and tempted, and then the devil was so frustrated, the Bible says, he went away until he could find a time when it was more appropriate, and we never see him do that again. It's nice to know you can run off the destroyer. You can cause him to flee from you. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. Anybody know how to resist? Where's Troy and Dylan? Now, this is not typecasting, just so you know. But we're going to make Dylan the devil here. Now, I want you to do me a favor. Since Troy is a believer, Troy, right up here in the middle, you're going to try and push him around. Okay? Go ahead. Now, Troy, don't resist. Okay, don't let him do that anymore. Now, I picked this particular matchup for a reason, because the devil wants you to believe he's the big bad guy, that he's all powerful, but he's not. He's actually the lesser of the two. Sorry, Don. You have everything in you that it takes to resist what he's trying to do. It doesn't mean that it will never affect you, because it will. But you don't have to let it dictate your future. You can choose to resist. If you don't choose to resist, you're going to get pushed around. He who doesn't do everything in his power to heal himself is the brother to him who commits suicide. If you don't resist, you're done. Any winners here? If you're a winner, just stand up and shout.
Hallelujah!
Yeah, okay.
Lord.
Would you guys minister to these guys on the front row? Winners celebrate. Hallelujah. Winners celebrate. That winners are obnoxious. No, I love winners. But they're obnoxious. I mean, they have the audacity to celebrate their victories as if they did something. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Right? Well, how many conquerors do we have in the room? Well, y'all need to come up a level because we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
Gotta watch it. I'll get you every time. We are more than conquerors. If we're conquerors, then we've won, correct? And we can celebrate. If we're more than conquerors, not only can we celebrate, we can take full possession and know that nothing can take it from us. Amen?
Amen.
I like being a winner. I hate being a loser. Ask anybody that plays Words with Friends with me. I'm going to win if it's at all possible. I'm going to win big. What's the sense in winning small? I don't like photo finishes. I want to know when I cross the line, everybody else is trying to figure out where I went. I don't like close races. I like sure things. Somebody asked me if I ever bet, and I said, only if I know I've got the winner. Because if I'm going to win, I want that win to be so dramatic, so secure that nobody can ever question it. In Jesus, we've already got that.
Amen.
We're winners. He is the victor. We sing the victor's crown, and I'm going to tell you what, that just rises up on the inside of me. Do you realize I am seated at the right hand of God? I am seated at the right hand of God. That's the place of the victor. That's the place where we get to say what goes on from here. We get to dictate the outcome. Sickness and disease comes against me. I don't have to stop and go, what do you think we ought to do? I'm sitting in the place where I know, because he's going, speak to it. Speak to it. Speak to it. And I don't have to say, what do you want me to say? You know what the rules are. You're the victor. Speak to it. Command it. Command it. Whatsoever you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have whatsoever you say. And say is not, well, thank God I'm healed. I mean, it's declare and decree. I mean, it's standing up and making a declaration that says, I am the healed. And nothing can take it from me. Nothing can take it from me. Bob McGilly will be here and you'll get to see how good God is to Gilly. I mean, she's going to get up here and dance and shout and just give testimony to how good God is and the things that are going on. That didn't just happen. I told you the day that I called them, they're sitting in the doctor's office. They got the report. They told Gilly she had 3 months to live. Just, I mean, talk about rock your world. 3 months to live. That was last October, November time frame. Now each time she goes back, they say, well, it wasn't as bad as we thought. Every test proves that God is a healing God. Every test proves that God is faithful to His Word. Every test shows that if you'll believe God and go to war, you will come out the winner. Go to war? Yes, go to war. Because we have an enemy, and the enemy has to be defeated. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Amen? Well, but I don't know how long I can take it. I don't know how much I can stand. I just don't know how much more of this I can do. Well, quit doing it in your strength because you can't get it done anyhow. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Amen? And if God says, well, go down to Bedford Springs and get you a gallon of water, and you drink that water every day, and you do that for 30 days, then what should you do? Amen? Do you know what's in that water? I don't really care. If he told me to drink it, that's what I'm going to do. Amen? But my wife talks about the fact that her mom was having some health issues and God just directed her to eat cabbage. Well, hope you like cabbage. Because you're going to eat it until you get the answer. Amen? And it gave the answer that she was looking for. Well, why didn't they just send somebody by to lay hands on her and anoint her with oil? They did. But God gave her a direction. There was a physical thing in her body that needed to be addressed, and the cabbage addressed it. Amen. How many of you know that back in the beginning he said that that would work? Herbs for us. It would make a great company, wouldn't it? Herbs for us. Vitamins, minerals. I mean, he put them there for our benefit. He told us what to eat and how to eat it. Unfortunately, there wasn't anything said about hosses at the time. But Noah came along, and then we got that changed. Of course, I noticed we live a lot less. This doesn't have anything to do with the Bible or truth. I'm just saying it because I like to. I was made in the image and likeness of God. I receive burnt offerings. But not well done. Make mine medium rare. Walk past hosses when the grill's going, and you know why God's so happy. We need to do what God's doing. We need to say what God's saying. When we go to war, we need to be the people who take the edict of God, who take the word of God and treat it as if it is the only truth, because it is. Let God be true and every man a liar. Well, my doctor said he's a man. He's just testifying to the evidence that he has in front of him, but he doesn't have the truth. All he has is facts. Amen? How many of you know that facts don't mean anything without context? And the context with regard to my body is, Jesus took stripes for my healing. I am the healed. I am the healed. I am the healed. I don't care what the symptoms say. I don't care what the diagnosis is. I don't care what the world says. I am the healed. They told me that my lungs would never be clear. They lied. Because I am the healed. And I remember the day that I got healed and went, hallelujah, this is so much better. They told me that I would have to be careful all of my life because I didn't sweat. Let me tell you, I love healing. I hate sweating, but I love healing. But every time I sweat, I'm reminded my God is faithful. He heals all of my diseases. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. There's nothing that has come against me that is beyond his ability to deal with. How long were you sick? Most of my young life. I remember sitting in a livestock auction one time, and everybody around me is just drenched. I mean, their shirts are soaked, their pants are soaked. I mean, it is hot. And I'm sitting there, I got this one little trickle that's running down, and my dad came over and threw me out of the building. He said, I don't need to take you to the hospital. Get out of here. And he sent me out, and he got me to where there was a hose running, and he said, you need to cool off, son. You need to cool. I must have really looked something. But I remember the day that I got healed. And I remember just that summer, I never sweat so much in all my life. Because I never sweat. And I can remember just being drenched in sweat and going, so this is what it's like. Let me tell you, you feel so much better. It's so nice. It smells horrible, but it's so nice. It's good to be healed. Just poke the person next to you. It's a whole lot better to be healed than to be sick. God's word works, but we need revelation. We need to know that it's the truth for us. We need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when God said it, he said it to me. Amen? Let me tell you something, though. God isn't going to give you any more revelation than the revelation you're already willing to walk in. See, if he says something to you, you need to do something about it. If he says to you that you're the healed, you need to act like it. Amen? Last story, and then I'll quit. This, I'm going to tell my wife a little bit. But when we first got married, my wife knew about healing. I didn't know anything about healing. And she used to tell me all the time about healing. And then she'd get a headache and be in bed. And I was not a nice guy. I was not a warm and loving and understanding husband. I was kind of rude. I said, I thought you believed in healing. Well, yeah, I believe in healing. And she'd ask me to pray for her. I'd pray for her, and she'd get in bed. And I told her, well, if you believe you're healed, get out of bed. Now, I wasn't saying that because I was spiritual or had revelation. I just thought, if you're going to say that, you might as well act on it. Don't be that person. Right, hon? But the truth is, that is where we have to come to, is where when we get prayed for, and she came to the point where she went, you're right. And I thought, I am? And she started acting on what she believed, and it worked. Because when you act on what you believe, if Jesus tells you get out of the boat, he doesn't mean sit there and think about it. He means get out of the boat. Amen? And when you get out of the boat, you can be sure that the water will hold you. I was praying for a friend of mine one night in church, and the Lord told me he was complaining about stomach trouble, and the Lord told me punch him in the stomach. First, you better know that was God. And I said, okay, but Lord, you better heal him. And I remember, I didn't give him any warning. I just, boom, punched him right in the stomach. And he jumped back, and he looked at me like, why in the world did you do that? And he went, it's gone. Amen. It's gone. Hallelujah. I remember Brother Hagin telling the story about camp meeting, and he had a guy come down. The guy had a broken foot. And when he got down front, the Lord said, stomp on it. You better know that was God. Because when you got a guy who works on oil rigs and he's down there with a broken foot and you stomp on his broken foot, if it isn't God, you know what's happening next? You're going to have a broken face. And Brother Hagin said he stomped on the guy's foot and he jumped up in the air and he danced all around. And when he got done dancing, he said, I am healed. I am healed. Hallelujah. Bob's told the story, I think told last time he was here, about the fellow in, it came into church, had been, I think it was horseback riding, and broke his leg. And he's sitting there, and he had to have surgery to fix his broken leg, and he wanted to go back home. He didn't live there, and he wanted to go back home and have the surgery at home. And so he's sitting there, and he's got this thing in this brace, and it's all rigged up. And Bob told him, you believe you're healed? Take that thing off. You better know it's God. If you're taking it off, you better know it's God. And he said he just believed it was God. And his brother was sitting beside him and argued with him, don't take that off. Your leg's broken. Don't do that. But he believed God. And he took that thing off, and he stood up, and he started walking around completely healed. You got to know who you are. You got to know what you are. You've got to know that it's reality in you. And when you do, ain't nobody can take it from you. Nobody can take it from you. When Jesus said, get up, take up your bed and walk, what other choice do you have? Amen? Poke the person next to you and tell them, I'm the healed. I'm the healed. Amen? Does this help you at all? I don't know if it's doing you any good, but it's doing me a lot of good. I'm loving this. I believe that God will speak to us about healing everywhere we go, every time we're doing something. I believe that God will deal with us in ministering healing to people that we've never even met. Just walk up to him and say, by the way, God wants to heal you. Can I pray for you? Well, that's pretty bold. What do you got to lose? Right? Might as well just be bold. Might as well obey God, but be bold. If you're walking through the grocery store and you have a coupon that somebody can use, do you hesitate to let them know if you can't use it that you have a coupon for them? For their benefit, right? You're going to give them a coupon. Right? How many of you at least love somebody that much? Okay? So if you have in you the ability to completely change their life by ministering healing to them and you hold on to it, then what are you? You're a partner with the destroyer. Well, what if they don't receive it? That's not your problem. Your responsibility is to obey God. Simply obey God. And whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Amen? Jim, come here. Come here. Jim needs healing in his body. Now, I know that because I've been told, but I didn't call him out because I know that. I called him out because God said, okay, let's pray for Jim. Now's a good time, isn't it, Jim? Good to be healed. It's good to be healed. So, we're going to pray for Jim. I want a couple of you to come on. We're going to pray for him. Just right there, that's good. Just relax. Bible says that we who are believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But what's his problem? Well, his problem is the devil's attacking him. He needs to be healed. Now, Wayne, you ought to learn by now. Get around here. If you're going to get used, you got to get used. Put your hand right on his belly there. Just agree together with us. Just stretch your hand this direction. Agree together with us. God is bringing healing to this body, manifest in this body, because God is our healer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, Jesus spoke, and with just a word, he drove out sickness and disease. With just a word, he raised the dead. With just a word, he eliminated the enemy's plan. So, Father, we speak to this body in the name of Jesus. Cancer, we curse you in the name of Jesus. We curse you in the name of Jesus. We command you to go. We command for Jim to be healed and whole in Jesus' name, and the doctors to be dumbfounded. Yes, we frustrate the enemy's plan. Yes, we speak to it and command it to go. We command it to go in Jesus' name. We will hear the testimony. We will see the demonstration. We will see the power of God in Jesus' name manifest in Jim's body beginning right now.
Yes.
Right now. Yes, 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 there it is. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Wayne, pray it out. Receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you. Next week, as we have the healing service here, we're expecting bigger and better things.
Amen.
We're expecting life-changing miracles. We're expecting the enemy's plan to just be routed on every side. So if you know somebody who's sick, if you know somebody who's, especially if they've got a chronic problem, it just seems like they just never can get quite past it. Make sure you bring them. Bring them. Well, they go to another church. Well, you know, so what? We're not asking them to change churches. We're asking them to get healed. Amen? Let's just do something that says, yes, I really do believe this, and let's just go get them and bring them along. If they don't come, well, that's they can reject. That's okay. But make the effort. Amen? The Bible tells us that we're the ones who go and bring good news. Well, the good news is the healer's going to be in the house because he's in the house now. He's in the house every time we show up. But we're going to have a special service that is dedicated to the healing of the sick. And I expect God will show up and manifest in a very special way, in a very big way. And miracles are going to take place right here in this house. Amen? If you agree, let's close this out with worship this morning.
God of Abraham, Jehovah Jireh.